John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news. Have Manchester United got their first summer signing done? And it's a midfielder. Ederson will give you the latest what's going on there as well. Michael Carrick, job concerns. There's quite a few. But my big concern this morning is probably something away from both those things, which we will discuss first. I think Man United have got a huge problem this summer. I don't think it's just the midfield. I think it's the fullbacks. I think it's centre-back. I think it's a backup striker. I think it's out wide. I think United's problems are probably going to be bigger than we thought next season, and they're not managerial and they're not the midfield. I think we have been papering the cracks on other areas where we think if we give Carrick the job and we sign two or three midfielders, we're going to be competing for the title. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The fullbacks aren't good enough. The centre-backs aren't good enough. And the wingers aren't good enough. So there's a lot of work to be done. I'm not falling through the cracks into the sewers with United's current plan. Also, Grim says in a super chat, the after show last night was a disgrace, Mark. They were saying they'd take Carrick over every manager except Louis. It's like they watched a different match. You know what it is, mate? And we'll delve into this in a minute. Some people are up to their necks in it. They've made their choice. And this is why I said to you in January, February, March, April and May, you will not get me saying give Carrick the job until the end of the season. And people just can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. You know when you're managing a team on a wet, you know, on a wet and muddy day and you say don't fly in two-footed, don't do slide tackles, and then they do and they get sent off. It's exactly the same. Some people just can't help themselves from making a decision, and that can be an ex-player. It can be one of you. They cannot help themselves from going, give him the job, give him the job. And they're panicking. They're panicking now because they've got to double down on it. And they saw the game yesterday as much as they've seen the last 2 months. The football's not good. We're getting by on vibes. But they've backed him. They've said, do the job. And they've got to do it now. And now, what are they doing it on? What would you have seen yesterday that would go, yes, this is the way I want to play. This is what it's all about. The excuses are incredible. But we'll delve into that in a minute because I want to talk about, first of all, and look, I think it's great that we've got different opinions on the fan show because it's in our community and we can deal with it all. I get tired of having to shout out Fairyland and everybody else for their nonsense. So let's do it within house. Great stuff. Ederson is the player we're talking about, Ray. So let's talk about Ederson before we delve into some of that stuff because it is a new show. So yesterday before the game or around the game, Matteo Moretto, who does work with Fabrizio Romano, he's got over 500,000 followers on social media, basically saying that Man United are in advanced talks with Ederson of Atalanta. I said at the time, and I very nearly did a show last night, but I was waiting for somebody to come back to me and I didn't want to go live or do a show based on, you know, speculation. We have got that information now, but interestingly overnight, excuse me, a little bit more. I'm choking. A bit like Carrick. No, I'm joking. I'm joking, not choking. So last night there was some more stuff coming out about Man United admiring Ederson, in talks with Ederson. The deal won't be a problem with Ederson. And Jason Wilcox is a big admirer of Ederson. So where are we at with Ederson? Look, my contacts, who I trust, who I can't tell you who it is, but you might know them, they said that with Ederson, he is definitely on the list for Manchester United. But this is very much agent-led, is what the feel is. Atletico Madrid was where he was going in January. Now, put yourself in the shoes of Ederson's agency, right? Atletico Madrid was where he was going to go. But they didn't want to pay the money. What the fuck? I don't get... I'm drowning. I'm drowning on a cup of tea. Wilcox will be celebrating. He's like, oh, good, he won't get to say anything bad about me. Okay, so if you're Edison's agent, right, you have a deal done with Atletico Madrid in January. Now I've got the hiccups. And you have a deal done in January, and it looks like it's going to happen, and your client wants to go there. And then basically what happens is Atletico Madrid refuse to pay what Atalanta want. And there's a bit of like a standoff about the price, yeah? Edison no longer has a move. Atletico Madrid now go for João Gomes. Edison doesn't have a move. Man United are interested. And I think that's where we are. I think that's where we are. I don't get the sense from the people I've spoken to, and somebody messaged me this morning, that Man United are about to sign Edison. It feels like it's agent-led because Atletico Madrid are about to sign João Gomes, and Edison doesn't necessarily have a move in a summer where he needs a move. There might be an element of desperation in this because the move to Atletico Madrid doesn't look like it's going to happen. And whilst there is interest from Man United and a couple of other clubs, it's a very competitive midfield market. And you could look at Edison for 40 million and go, yes, at 26, he's a decent player. Or you could look at him and go, for £40 million at 26, he's never played in the Premier League, he's not a Brazilian international, we could go and get somebody like Alex Scott, James Garner, Tyler Adams, Ampadu. There's loads and loads of other players that Man United could go for, or anybody else. So I think that I think it might be agent-led. I mean, look, I sort of thought that yesterday when I saw it coming out. I thought, you know, Italian journalist talking about an Italian-based player. Nobody in the UK has really spoken about Edison in the sense that we're in advanced talks. I also saw something this morning that Jason Wilcox is driving the deal because he's a big admirer of Edison. Check his passport. When was the last time Jason Wilcox flew out to Italy to watch Atalanta? I mean, I think people have a really big misconception about who takes credit for players. I heard people, you know, crediting Wilcox for Le Mans. It was Tony Cotan. It was the goalkeeping coach. You know, Favel actually has a database and understanding of the European market. Jason Wilcox was a youth coach at Man City and then a director of footballer of Southampton. He doesn't go out. He doesn't go out and about watching games. Jason Wilcox is a director of football. His job is very, very much office-based. He's not out watching game after game after game after game doing his little scout reports. Edison will be information that's being fed in by our scouting network. It's not just Jason Wilcox and Favel doing all the scouting, is what I'm trying to say. Edison's been in our scouting network for probably 4 years. Jason Wilcox has only been here for two. So Edison is on the list of what Man United are looking at. But I feel like that it's a deal United can do very, very quickly. And it's not a deal I'm opposed to. But I do feel like because the Atletico Madrid deal has collapsed, how much of this is actually being driven by certain journalists, certain social media, you know, accounts, etc. But how much of it's actually being driven by, you know, has Fabrizio Romano come out and said we're in advanced talks? I've not heard that. I've heard him and Ben Jacobs and others talk about him being, you know, on the shortlist, but he's going to be 27 in July as well. I think there's a lot to this deal that doesn't add up. We don't like buying players over 26. He'll be 27 in July. He's not Premier League proven. And there's a lot of players that were younger playing in the Premier League who are arguably going to be more, you know, value for money than a 27-year-old who's never played in the Premier League. So I feel like it's agent-led. Look, and can I just say as well, I'm not saying it's a bad signing. I know he's only got three caps for Brazil and Brazil's midfield ain't great. So, you know, what's going on there? I don't think he's a bad signing, far from it. But I don't feel like we are about to make the deal happen. And, you know, sometimes we've got to be realistic to that. And look, I would take, as Andy Atherton says, surely you'd go for someone like Stiller or Enmecha from the Bundesliga. Exactly. I think both of those players are probably better, albeit we haven't been linked to them. But it feels like a bit of an over-exaggeration with Edison, is what I would say. And that's basically where we are. Christopher says, we have one game with more than two goals this season. The further we get from Amorim, the lazier the players get. It's third because top three have been shit, says Christopher. I mean, God, if you watched Chelsea against Liverpool yesterday and that's the competition for third place, I no wonder we're comfortably third. I mean, God. I mean, Bournemouth are sixth, with all due respect. Bournemouth, Brighton, Fulham, Everton, and Brentford are fighting it out for sixth. Villa didn't have a midfield for half the season in fifth, and they've got Europa League football on Thursday nights, and Liverpool are absolutely pants. I mean, Man City and Arsenal are on a different level, as we know, but, you know, I'm not surprised we're third, really. Also, Edison's only got 1 year left on his contract, so he might not move. Good point. Great point, Christopher. I'll talk about Carrick and the team in a moment. Invincibles Henry says, Mark, the Herald reports that United are tapping into the Asian market. Okay, I think he's just being sarcastic. I just came in when you choked. Are you dying, says Mazraoui. I've bounced back now. I'm like Luke Shaw. I look like I'm injured, but I'm actually okay. Anyone wanting Carrick as manager needs to remember the match yesterday as a warning. It's turgid, it's boring, and it's not good enough, says Mike. And Grimm says, Big Xerxes become the scapegoat for yesterday. Ahmad and Mount were way worse. They couldn't even pass or hold on to the ball. They need to be sold, says Grimm. I'll tell you what, you've made two great Super Chats this morning, mate. You really, really have. I do want to start on that. Before we get into the Carrick conversation, it's actually quite hilarious to listen to some of the excuses. And I suppose, you know, in all due respect, when we've been winning, I and many others have said, I don't want Carrick to get the job. I think the red flags are there. But we've been winning. So people say, oh, you're just moaning, right? Yesterday we didn't lose, but we were absolutely pants. And the excuses for it are, you know, quite funny. It's going to take two to three years for Carrick to build this team. It's funny how Amorim, Ten Hag and every other manager never got 2 or 3 years, but an interim coach who's got no experience and a crap assistant coach with him is suddenly going to get 2 or 3 years, but there we go. He didn't have Casemiro. Okay, yeah, okay. So we're a one-man team on a player that's leaving in the summer, and we were still playing crap with Casemiro anyway. We were just scoring headers from his from crosses. We've already got Champions League football, so it's just about results. That's got to be the best one, and I've seen it a few times. Carrick's just getting results. He's going to start doing the real rebuild in the summer. We've already got Champions League football, but he's still grinding out results. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe the whole week we had to prepare for this game, Carrick just said to the players, let's just go to Sunderland and grind out a shit 0-0. And I bet the players were like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea when we've already got Champions League football. I was very disappointed yesterday because I was like, if we have been grinding out results with crap football just to get Champions League football, then Sunderland, who just conceded 5 goals at home last week, who aren't very good, we go there and we absolutely pop them off. We played worse than we played all season. So, you know, I'd be very concerned about that, to be honest with you. Scott in top 7 defensive actions and a baller, says John. And Patrick Lynch also says, a huge concern was the lack of energy and intensity yesterday. This is a team that's played the least amount of games for United in a century. Where's the ambition from players and management? I think, look, Patrick, the bottom line is, if you look at it, and I'm going to steal this from United Benny on X, we were bad against Fulham. We were bad against Tottenham before the red card. We were bad against West Ham. We were bad against Everton. We were bad against Palace before the red card. We were bad against 10 men Newcastle. We were bad against Chelsea. We were bad against Brentford after the first 13 minutes. And we were bad against Sunderland. The only good games we've had has been, and I'll give, you know, you could argue Liverpool wasn't good, but I'll say Liverpool, Arsenal, Man City. What does that tell you? When we're playing big teams, the players are up for it. When we're not, it's grind it out, turn the light off, and Sunderland was absolutely terrible. And the problem, and Patrick's nailed it, is that you need an experienced coach with accountability. You do not need an inexperienced coach hugging everybody, saying it's okay to be shit. I mean, look at Ahmad, right? I like Ahmad. Ahmad nearly costs us the game against Liverpool. After the game, Carrick's hugging him, gives a big interview saying it's not Ahmad's fault, it's the dressing room. Ahmad's on social media saying, it's not about me, it's about, you know, it's about the team, right? Okay, how does that, what good did that do? Because he was shit yesterday as well. So, you know what I mean? There is this thing about United where it's like, you don't need to train as hard, you can go home early, we're all in it together, it's never anybody's fault, there's no accountability, and that's fine if you go to Sunderland or you go to Everton and you play really, really well. But we're not playing well. We're getting away with it. So we definitely need a coach who's made of sterner stuff. We definitely need a coach who has some accountability, because these results aren't going to last. Everybody knows it. They're not going to last. We're getting away with it. And people aren't, you know, there are serial offenders who are playing badly every week. No matter what happens, whether they get criticised, whether they get a hug, they still play bad. We've still got no intensity. You know, I don't want to look at how far we're running, but I can see the possession stats. I can see the shots on target. They're coming down by the game. But the thing I want to say before we talk about Carrick, by the way, the most important thing I want to say is that, in my opinion, and I don't know what your thoughts are, the most important thing I took away from yesterday in the last 3 months, and I've sort of been keeping a mental note on this, is that we're obsessed with the midfield. We are absolutely obsessed with the midfield, and the midfield does need three midfielders, right? But yesterday proved it again. At centre-back, we've got a massive problem. A massive problem. He drops Heaven yesterday, who is quick and physical, for Martinez, who is slow. And Maguire is slow. And Brobby, up front on his own, in a team that doesn't score goals, could have had a hat-trick. Sunderland are one of the lowest scorers in the Premier League. I knew they wouldn't score yesterday. I said it in the watch-along after 20 minutes. They won't score. They don't score goals. Sunderland won't score goals. And yet, they should have had three. And that's because of our centre-backs and Mason Mount, obviously. But our centre-backs just aren't mobile enough. We are going to have to go back to a back three next season. I guarantee you, next season, under Carrick, we're going to go to a back three at some point, because it's going to start, it's going to go very wrong very, very quickly, because he will have to change the style of play. We can't just sit back every game next season. Every United fan knows what we're doing. You'd have to be completely and utterly ignorant not to know what we're doing. Every area of that team, you can see it with your eyes and you can see it with the stats. We park the bus, we counter, and we wait for moments from people like Mbeumo or Cunha or Casemiro. That's what we're doing. We're parking the bus and we're waiting for a counter. That's what we're doing, right? Next season, that'll kill us.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I know. The Gold Devils, Baller League, the Park the Bus Specialist. It's bloody hard work. It's really hard work to not have the ball. To not have the ball and be organised mentally and physically, it's a killer. To do that twice a week, he knows we can't do that. Michael Carrick's not stupid. So we're going to have to play a little bit more expansive next year with a back four, with Delow, Maguire, Martinez and Shaw, a little bit more expansive. We're going to get done. Wingers and strikers are going to kill us. Absolutely kill us. So I think that we need fullbacks and centre-backs. Now, Heaven and De Ligt would be interesting if we could get De Ligt fit. But why have we given Maguire a new contract? In the last few weeks, he's been done because of pace numerous times. He can't play in a back four, in my opinion. So I think we need... I think we've got a problem at centre-back at the moment. I think we've got a huge problem at full-back. I mean, our full-backs just do not go forward. And you can't blame Delow yesterday. Delow doesn't go forward very well, but Mazraoui and Luke Shaw don't either. Our full-back profile is abysmal. Our winger profile at the moment is problematic because Ahmad's not playing well. And Mbeumo doesn't get to play on the wing very often. And Cunha's not a winger. I mean, you know what Cunha is? A luxury. I was watching Cunha yesterday and he's a luxury. Every now and again, he gets the ball and you think, please do something. But he's not a proper winger. He's not a defensive winger. He's not an offensive winger. He's a player that's playing out of position who, if you get him the ball, he might produce something. But he's not a winger. So there's so much to that team that's really bad. And then, obviously, you know, the Xerxes scapegoating was incredible yesterday. The amount of news articles and videos where, instead of blaming Carrick, they've blamed Xerxes. Because they can't, because they've got nowhere to go. They don't want to blame Carrick because they've said give him the job. So the typical agenda comes again. A shit performance gets pinned on one player. Like Xerxes didn't play well, but God, it was a graveyard shift. And Xerxes does need to go, but it was a graveyard shift. You got Mason Mount taking a big dump in the midfield. That's okay because he made a load of tackles. I actually saw somebody say Mason Mount made the most defensive tackles yesterday. And I expected another sentence, but I was like, no, that's it. So they're trying to make out that Mason Mount had a good game. But look, Xerxes does need to go, but he's not the responsible for yesterday. There were some right shit performances. But my big problem is, and I'd be interested to know what people think, my big problem is I look at that team and I look at the last few weeks and I do agree we have been playing terrible for weeks, but we probably need three midfielders, a backup striker, a left winger, a left back, a right back, a centre back and a backup goalkeeper this summer. So what's that? One, two, three midfielders, a backup striker, a left winger, a left back, a right back, a centre back and a backup goalkeeper. We need nine signings. And they're not negotiable. I'm not saying, oh, yeah, don't worry about a right back or don't worry about a left back or don't worry about a centre back or don't worry about a left winger or don't worry about... These are players that I think we need next season when we're doubling up the amount of games. We ain't signing nine players. I'll do well to get 50% of them. Three midfielders, left back, right back, centre back, backup striker, backup goalkeeper. I bet we won't even sign half. So you can look at your manager, you can look at your players, you can argue amongst yourselves, but ultimately, are we a serious football club? Are we a serious football club? Forget the new kit that we're going to wear next week. Forget the new stadium. Forget the propaganda. Forget the manager debate. Is this squad ready for what's coming next season? And I tell you what, yesterday was brilliant because it was a glimpse of what I think is going to happen next season. I think we got a glimpse of what's going to happen next season yesterday, where beyond all the hype of results and Champions League football, the reality bit, we're actually not that good. We're not that good. There's huge problems with this United side, but because we're in third and because we've had some good results, people are like, oh, next season, next season. Next season, my arse. I think Chelsea are better than us. They're just massively underperforming. I think Liverpool are better than us. They're just massively underperforming. And God knows what Villa and Newcastle are going to do in the summer transfer window because they might step up as well. So, look, I think we need a lot of investment into that team. And it's not just about the midfield. The midfield will make a big difference if we get it right. But if we get that wrong and we neglect everywhere else, things could get worse. Like, we could not be in Europe again in a year's time. And that's my biggest fear. I don't really massively care about what's going to happen with the manager, because I think we know what's going to happen with the manager. It will be Michael Carrick. But I'm very worried about where we'll be in a year's time because, I mean, look, we're going to give the job to a coaching setup who's not coached a good game in 3 months. We're going to give the job to a coaching setup that's been grinding out results. There's not a lot more than that. I mean, at the end of the day, if we had Jason Wilcox, Omar Berada and Sir Jim Radcliffe on a four-way split screen here, and I said to you, beyond results, why are you giving Michael Carrick the job? Everything they would say, we'd all laugh at and go, well, that's just, you're living in dreamland. You're giving it him because of results. That's what you're giving it him for. I mean, that's not really the way to build a club, is it? I don't think Real Madrid would do this. I don't think PSG would do this. I don't think Liverpool would do this. That's what, you know, we're praying that these grind out results are going to work. You know, did Greece dominate world football after they ground out the Euros in 2004? No, they bloody didn't. No, they didn't. Teams that grind out results run out of energy. There's not a team in history that's grinded out results with very little possession and dominated football for 2 or 3 years. It doesn't happen. You can do it for 1 year and then your team gets very, very tired. There needs to be a different way. Look, Chris Wheeler said from the Daily Mail, I saw this statement yesterday, this sentence yesterday. This was a day that underlined the lack of depth that must be addressed before the club returns to the Champions League. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I saw a few people saying yesterday, that, you know, to all the Carrick inners, if and when results go south next season, don't be screaming for 2 or 3 years because you didn't give that patience to previous managers, which I think, you know, some people might agree with. But look at some of the facts from yesterday. You know, I mean, look, I saw this tweet from Laurie Whitwell. What a surprise. First shot on target in the 93rd minute. Mount, it was him who said Mount makes the most United defensive actions. What? Xerxes shows why club will listen to offers. Scapegoat. Brobby, who Ten Hag wanted, a proper handful. Well, we don't need Brobby, do we, at all? In other news, you might be concerned by this. Carlos Baleba on Instagram, who obviously Brighton won yesterday. I'll tell you that he did start that game. He did start that game yesterday. And let me just tell you, they won 3-0, didn't they? Let me get the Instagram post because somebody said, have you seen that? He played yesterday. He did okay, but his player rating was below Gross, below Hinshelwood, below Minté, below Welbeck, below Dunk, below Heck. He had an average game yesterday for Brighton, but they did beat Wolves 3-0. He was straight onto Instagram saying it's better that it takes longer than it never happening at all. I mean, this guy couldn't flirt with Man United anymore if he tried. I mean, look, we're probably going down that route. There's an element of resignation on my face this morning that, you know, it will be Carrick and it will be Baleba. And it could be the luckiest bit of genius I've ever seen, or it could be an absolutely fucking nightmare. But he's begging it. You know, he beats Wolves 3-0 and he's, you know, he's basically hinting at moving to Man United. It worries me. He worries me. I saw a bit of footage after the game yesterday, actually. And he was dancing in front of the camera. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with dancing. I never really had a problem with Lingard and Pogba and Dan James dancing and everything like that. I just worry about his mentality. He had a 6.2 rating, says the Beat a Bit of Moose. I do worry about his mentality because, you know, you're beating Wolves, mate, and you're hinting that you're coming back to Man United. Like, you did have a good game against Chelsea. You've had an okay game against Wolves, who are bottom of the league, and you're hinting that you're going to solve Man United's problems. I think he's got a very high opinion of himself. I don't think he's a very serious footballer. And it worries me that United are looking at that type of a player. You know, I look at the way Baleba behaves on social media, and I look at the way Elliot Anderson behaves on social media, or Tonali behaves on social media, or Tchouaméni behaves on social media, or Stiller behaves on social media. And I think, I know what type of player I want to come into Man United. I think he'd get absolutely bamboozled by Man United. You know, Brighton's not Man United, and yet he's very opinionated. And I think at United, God knows what he'd be like. I just don't think it's the solution. I don't. But look, United clearly do. And as I've said, if and when we sign him, I'll back it and say I hope he does well. But God, coming out after bloody beating Wolves 3-0 and you didn't even get man of the match and you're saying, you know, talking about if it takes longer, it happens. I mean, I don't know. I'm very worried after yesterday. I'm very worried after yesterday. Laurie Whitwell says, Xerxes set to be a player United will listen to offers for in the summer to boost funds for signings. There we go. Well, I don't think we're surprised about that. Wayne Rooney, it will be clear to Michael Carrick that there has to be some big investment in the summer for them to compete in the Champions League. Carrick was asked about whether the players were already on vacation, and he said, already on vacation? I almost get offended by that. Well, do get bloody offended by it. Don't almost get offended by it, for God's sake. When people are accusing that, because the way the players are prepared for the game, the way they left the changing room, we faced a tough game, it's fine. I think if we weren't in a good headspace and motivated, I think we lose the game today. Sunderland played really well at certain points of the game and made us work for it. The fact that our pride in ourselves and each other and the responsibility playing for this great club and being part of it, certainly motivation and focus is not the reason whether we're going to be brilliant or maybe we're going to have a performance where it comes a little bit more challenging. Whether it's today or the next two games, that won't be the case, whether that's affected at all. Fuck knows what he's saying there. He's back at it again, isn't it? Do you think his mouth just runs? I don't actually know what he means there. Life's too short. I can't read that back. The amount of times I read Carrick's paragraphs and I don't know where he's going and I don't know where he ends up. I'll go back to the other one about the vacation. Look, he says if we weren't in a good headspace and motivated, we lose that game today. I mean, are we watching different games of football? If we weren't in a good headspace, we lose that game today. The Post and Le Mans stop us losing that game 3-0.
What does he mean by if we weren't in a good headspace, we lose that game today? Did he watch that game? Like, he was stood on the sideline. Like, did you watch the game, Michael? What are you talking about if we weren't in a good headspace? We were shit. We were absolutely shit, and we were lucky not to win. If we'd have been playing Brighton or Bournemouth, we'd have lost that game because they put the ball in the back of the net. It was a terrible performance. There was nothing good about that. But he's out there defending players again, saying, you know, I'm offended by you think we're on vacation. All right, then, we're not on vacation. Why are your tactics so crap? Why don't you actually, you know, try and get the ball and create chances? Why do you sit back against a team like Sunderland? Why do you get dominated by a team like Sunderland? Why do you need the post and a goalkeeper to make two brilliant saves to stop you getting beaten by Sunderland? If we're not on holiday, why did that happen then? Because I think if he'd have come out and said, well, we've got Champions League football and we've took the foot off the pedal, it's not acceptable, that's what happened, it's my job to sort that out for the next week, then at least that's something we can work with. Look, I'm massively concerned. I'm massively concerned, and I have been for weeks, because I just do not think the results are enough. You know, I didn't watch the fan forum yesterday because I went out to get a Chinese, but I will watch it this morning. And if they're saying Carrick's the best option after last night's game, I don't know what they're smoking. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't. What do you mean he's the best option? I can give you six options in the Premier League straight away. I mean, is it getting to the point where Glasner's better? I mean, I don't want Glasner, but Iriola's way better. Iriola's a way better coach. Absolutely. I mean, Bournemouth are in sixth. And he's going off to Fulham and winning with 10 men, albeit Fulham had 10 men as well. Emery's a better coach. Nagelsmann's a better coach. There's so many better coaches. I mean, this is just a joke now that people are actually thinking, like, if it's not Enrique, it's got to be Carrick. I speak to people, right? And they say, if they don't give it to Carrick, I'm not going to go and riot because he got his Champions League football. A lot of people in the modern game are actually educated beyond results. And a lot of people are like, I wouldn't actually cry if they don't give it to Carrick. I'd say, thank you for getting us Champions League football, but I do watch the games. They're not very good. And I don't see a scenario next season where if a new manager starts and it's a project, people are going to go, oh, we've not had a great start to the season. We should have gone for Carrick, because there'd be enough people going, did you watch how we played under Carrick? I think there's this myth that the media are trying to perpetuate out there that if Wilcox doesn't give it to Carrick, there'll be an uproar in the fan base. I don't think there will. I don't think there will. I think there will be a gratefulness that he got us in the Champions League, and everyone will go, thank you very much for coming in, steadying the ship, getting us over the line. But it's very obvious that your football's not up to it, and next season was going to be a big challenge. I don't think there's going to be people going, oh, get the Glazers out for getting rid of Carrick, because there'll be enough people going, what are you talking about? It was very Bruno-centric and the football was abysmal. I don't think people are going to miss this next season if we don't go with it. I think it's a myth. I think it's a media myth, and they're desperate. Maybe it's a club myth. Maybe the club are trying to do it. But there's definitely this like movement of if we don't give it to Carrick, everyone's going to go mad because we were winning games with him. But we're all educated enough to know that interim managers, Di Matteo, etc., did big things in short period of time and it went wrong. I think United are not reading the room if they think that the fan base is going to be an uproar if they don't give it to Carrick. I really do think they've misread the room. But look, how many times has that happened? Let me get into some of your comments. Rajaf says United are winless in all games. Casemiro hasn't started. Is the record? How are we so reliant on someone who is leaving and is past it? It's scary, says Rajaf. Look. It's an interesting stat. I saw the stat myself, but my question back to you would be, when Casemiro plays, do we have 70% possession and create 10 shots on target? We don't. The reason we struggle without Casemiro is, when those corners were coming in and we had about 8, Casemiro might get on the end of one and win it. We play the same way with Casemiro as we did yesterday. You know, people are saying, oh, we missed Casemiro. We did miss Casemiro yesterday, but we missed Casemiro because he didn't get his head on the end of a corner and win it. We don't miss Casemiro because we go from 50% possession to 70. We still have 50% possession with Casemiro. We have a bit of leadership and he gets his head on the end of crosses. Because that's how we win games. We don't play massively differently with Casemiro. He just gets his head on the end of crosses. That's what he does. How many games have we won this season? Fulham, straight away. Corners. We score so many goals from corners because of Casemiro. we are a very set-piece driven team. Go back and watch the games. If we don't make 7 or 8 signings, top 4 will be tough, says Mojo. We don't have the team to challenge on any front. More than signings, if Carrick is given the job, please give him a better coaching setup. The current are low substandard. I actually saw some footage. I think it was on Match of the Day last night. Half-time, 0-0. It went to Carrick on the cameras, and Steve Holland was there with a beanie hat on. And they looked like they were on holiday. They didn't look like they knew what they were doing, and they didn't look like they were motivated either. It just looked a little bit like, same again, let's see if we can scrap a win. What have we become? What have we become? We've just become so mundane. We're a mundane team on the pitch, and we're a mundane team off the pitch. And mundane basically means boring. We're boring to watch. We're boring to listen to. The board's boring. You know, I look at the Guardiola post-match press conference yesterday when they beat Brentford, and as he's leaving, he's excited and he's like, "Come on, the Irons," because West Ham are playing Arsenal. And I just think, God, Man United, we're so boring. We've become such a boring football club, haven't we? But they probably want that, because boring means that the temperature's not rising, is it? Standards have dropped. Exactly, Mini Brew. Hope you're doing well. Ollie said he wasn't a hands-on manager. McKenna and Carrick did all the day-to-day work on the training. So this is literally Ollie all over again, says Marlo. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't necessarily need to go there, but it's almost like people forget that Carrick was the coach on the training ground for 3 years under Ollie. You know, you will get United fans saying you can't compare Carrick to Ollie, and you sort of like go, I'm not going to have this argument, because you definitely can. Carrick is the Riddler in the next Batman film, says Nick P. We should call him the Riddler, yeah. Yesterday, both teams looked like they had nothing to play for and didn't want to risk injury before the World Cup, says Lucid. Well, Sunderland were still playing for European football, and some of our players are still playing for World Cup places. And some of our players aren't going to the World Cup. So, you know what I thought yesterday was? Reminded me when Ollie got the contract. Before the contract, results, 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 results. After the contract, we can have a rest now. And that's the problem with Man United. Our dressing room decides when it's having a rest. And yesterday it was having a rest. Emily Derry says, honestly, I see this going the same way as Amorim, in that Carrick may change his tactics to try and make a purse from a pig's ear. Wilcox may interfere. Carrick may ask for reinforcements, says Emily. Look, I might be completely wrong, Emily. I said it a few minutes ago. I don't know whether you were here. I'm absolutely convinced at some point he's going to go back to a back three. Absolutely convinced. He played a back three at Middlesbrough. If you want to pick Maguire, you need to play a back three. Now, it'd be very interesting when that happens, what the ex-players and the media say, because I absolutely am convinced at some point we'll go back to a back three, because it's the only way we're going to stop shipping chances. We've started conceding a lot of chances in the last few weeks. Chelsea should have beat us, hit the post twice. Brentford should have beat us, missed some big chances. And Sunderland should have beat us. Liverpool, I don't think they should have beat us. You know, Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal, we should have won them games, and we did. No problem at all. But there's loads of teams that should have beat us because they missed big chances. Brentford missed some massive chances. McTominay back or Belaba, says Aman. I'm not doing silly hypotheticals like that. I'd take McTominay. If Carrick played a weak side just to prove our squad depth is poor, then the sporting department is clueless. We've needed reinforcements for ages and everyone can already see it. Bad excuse for me, says John. What players should be sold to fund a rebuild, says George. Should Ahmad be one of them?
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Look, I think with Ahmad, like, I don't want to make it about individual players, because yesterday wasn't about individual players. It was a crap team performance, and nothing. There was no plan B from the bench. It was shocking. And you know what? If we're going to say it's just about Casemiro, then that's crap coaching. I'm sorry. Like, every decent coach can get something out of something. you know, if it was always about players, then why in the World Cup or the FA Cup do we occasionally get countries getting to the semi-final? You know, it's good coaching. You know, if you look at PSG when they had Neymar, Messi and Mbappe, they never won the Champions League. And without them, they're in the Champions League final again and they won it last year. That's coaching. It's not always about your best players. It's about what you get from what you've got. 11 amazing individuals will never beat 11 players who aren't as good who play together as a team, because team is what wins you things. So, you know, Casemiro's not there yesterday. Stick Martinez in the midfield, put Heaven at centre-back. You solve the pace issues and you're stronger in the midfield and you get on the ball better. Didn't do it. That's yours, not mine. That's yours. I mean, it might not have worked, but everybody thought it. You thought it. You were like, put Martinez in the midfield next to Mainoo. Bit of experience next to Mainoo. He's good on the ball. He knows the position. And then put Heaven next to Maguire, who played together for the last 3 weeks. Would we have been a better team? I don't know, but it's a plan B. It might have changed the game. Didn't do it. And that's what I mean about coaching. Oh, we didn't have Casemiro. It's an excuse. You didn't have Casemiro. No, you didn't. But maybe Arsenal in the Champions League final won't have Declan Rice. Do you think Arteta will walk out waving a white flag going, I haven't got Declan Rice? You adapt. Sir Alex Ferguson was brilliant at this. How many who was our midfield when we beat Arsenal 8-2? Was it? I don't know. But he used to put Phil Neville in the midfield sometimes. It's tactical adaptability. Andy Atherton says, even if the Edison rumours are true, it feels like a lazy Wilcox signing. This terrifies me, especially when Wilcox is also pushing the Belaba signing. Look, if we buy Belaba and Anderson, I'd be terrified about next season. I don't think they're up to it. United need to sign Tonali, Tchouaméni or Anderson, and then the rest of them, I'm a little bit more relaxed. But our number one Casemiro replacement has got to be somebody very experienced or very, very good. Somebody in the chat asked a minute ago, would you sign Edison? I don't mind Edison, but I do think there's a lot better options out there. You know, for someone who's going to be 27 in the summer, who's not a Brazilian international, who's never played in the Premier League, who's playing at Atalanta and nobody's ever gone in for him. Like, he's never been snapped up by Real Madrid or Liverpool, as he's, you know, he's been at Atalanta till he's 27. I don't think it fits Man United's profile. I don't think he's a bad player. But I don't think it fits Man United profile at all. And I think there's better options out there that tick more boxes. Emily Derry says, yesterday reminded me why I stopped watching England. Southgate's England. Carrick, Holland and Woodgate were all jobless mid-season and were supposed to believe they're the second coming of coaching. Emily, I'm not going to claim this. I could do, but I'm not like that. I actually saw something a month ago about this, and it was basically and I can't remember where it was. It might have been Instagram, actually. There was a back and forth going on about the coaches at Man United, and basically somebody dropped this. It must have been Instagram because it was a good two paragraphs, and they went, look, even if I concede that Michael Carrick is the next Pep Guardiola or the next Vincent Kompany, which I don't think he is, why has he been out of a job for so long, and why is he sat there twiddling his thumbs in January? But even if I concede he is the next Pep Guardiola, that's a hell of a leap as to why he sat jobless. But on top of that, if Steve Holland is the next big thing, why is he sat jobless? Why is Woodgate sat jobless? You know, and what they were basically saying is, you're asking me to take a hell of a leap of faith to believe that Michael Carrick, Steve Holland and Jonathan Woodgate are all sat there jobless in January because no one wants them. And suddenly they're the coaching setup that's going to take Man United back to the top of British football. And it sort of does resonate a little bit. You know, maybe Carrick is the next Pep Guardiola, but the likelihood of three of them being the next big dream team, I mean, really, we live in the real world, don't we? I mean, it's highly unlikely that we've landed on the jobless three being the dream team coaching setup that's going to take on the giants of Real Madrid. I mean, we're asking Michael Carrick, Steve Holland and Jonathan Woodgate to take on Arsenal's coaching setup, Man City's coaching setup, Chelsea's coaching setup, Liverpool's coaching setup, PSG, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich. I mean, we're going to need a bit of luck. And we're certainly going to need two fullbacks, a centre-back, three midfielders, a left-winger. See, you understand my point I'm making now? A lot of us don't really believe we've landed on a great coaching setup. And a lot of us don't really believe they're going to get the summer they desperately need either. It's a bad combination. If we don't have the summer and we haven't got the coaches, what's going to happen? And if we haven't got the coaches, but we have the summer, maybe they've got a chance. But I would get the coach, because I think the coach makes a summer that's not as good as it needs to be. Maybe we can still do it. Can someone remind the board who we are, says Christopher. Thank you very much for that. Okay. What's the plan for today, Mark? I'm doing West Ham against Arsenal. I think that's a 4:30 game. I'm on That's Football for that. And an 8:00 show tonight. Really busy at the moment. Like, Gold Devils on Friday night. We're back at the Copper Box tomorrow night. Top of the table clash. So if you want to get yourself down there, it'd be great to see you. And back into another week. I mean, look, I think Rooney said it, and he was right. I think Rooney was asked the question that we were talking about. Like, you know, like, I can't remember it verbatim. Maybe some of you can. Rooney got asked the question, are Man United hindering their summer by not getting on with the manager and, you know, signings, essentially? And I think it was a great question. And I can't remember what Wayne Rooney said, so I'll answer it. We are massively hindering our chances next season with the uncertainty. Look, if they're waiting till the end of the season to give Carrick the job, I think we'll just need to do a show on why they waited. If Carrick's getting the job, he should have been given it by now. I don't want Carrick to get the job, but I know he's going to get it. So can we just get on with it? Because once he's got the job, then we can start signing players. But what we're doing is we're not going to give him the job until June. But we're not signing players either. It's like, are we waiting to give him the job till June so we don't have to sign players? That's what's concerning me. Because we do need 8-9 players. And we're definitely not going to sign 8 or 9 players. But with every week that goes by, if I think we're going to sign 6, if we haven't bought a player by mid-June, I think it'll be 5. And if we haven't bought anyone by the end of June, I think it'll be 4. And you know, so I think that actually, every week that goes by, we're limiting how active we're going to be. But are we doing that on purpose? Is Sir Jim Radcliffe sat there with Joel Glazer saying to Omar Berada and Jason Wilcox, drag out the Carrick thing because that will be big news when it happens. Let's not do anything in May because there's still football being played. We'll do Carrick at the start of June. Then everyone will be watching the World Cup. We don't need to start buying people till July, and then it's a new season, and then the window's closed. Are they stalling, as Alan says, deliberately? Because I'm telling you now, if any of you, and some of you won't be United fans, but if any of you were in charge of this football club, you'd know who the manager is and you'd know a lot of the players that you're signing. Now, I spoke to somebody last week, a very prominent journalist with good contacts, and I said, look, have United got players lined up to sign? They're just keeping it quiet. And they said to me, no. I said, can you tell me more than that? And they went, no, because Man United can't do that. And I said, why? And they said, well, because I know loads of people and it's not in their interest to not tell me or other people that they're in talks with Man United, because that's the way football works. So essentially what I took from that is that if I am the agent of, let's say, Tonali, and Man United have done a deal with Tonali and he's coming to Man United in June, could that be real? We just don't know about it. But in reality, why would Tonali's agent keep it quiet for Man United? Unless he was getting loads of money, which United don't pay loads of money to agents and they don't pay loads of money to people. And why would Newcastle keep it quiet? Because they might want a bidding war. So we haven't got players lined up. There are still some naive people out there that swallow the Glazer bullshit and think we've got players lined up ready to go. We haven't. Because it's impossible. You can't have a player site. Nobody can have a player lined up secretly for a month. You can't do it. Not Man City, not Liverpool. You can't do it because it's not in anybody's interest other than Man United to keep it quiet, because the selling club wants a bidding war. The agent wants more money. So we haven't even got people lined up. We're not in advanced talks, like deal done with anybody. Belabor is probably there if we can do a deal with Brighton. But it's not lined up because we haven't done a deal with Brighton. So no, even with Belabor, we haven't got a deal lined up. We've got a player that's desperate to come to us and maybe we want him. But Brighton haven't agreed the deal. In fact, Brighton will not negotiate with Man United until they know where they are at the end of May. Because if they're in the Champions League, it's more money. If they're not in Europe, it might be less money. If they're in Europe, then they're richer. So Brighton won't even negotiate with us until early June. The club that we should be negotiating with is Newcastle. I said this to you a month ago. Newcastle is the club we should be negotiating with because they're the club that don't have European football, probably won't get European football, and need to sell to buy. Newcastle is the club we should be looking at. And finally, just before I do your super chats and piss off, Morgan Rogers. Remind me about Morgan Rogers on the 8 o'clock show, because that is, I'm based in the Midlands. It's not journalist stuff. That is interesting, Morgan Rogers. There's definitely a push from Carrick to get Morgan Rogers because obviously he remembers him from the Middlesbrough days. Carrick supporters are put that game down to players checking out. Some same time, failed to realise it acknowledges a bad performance, which wasn't far below the whole season's performance level, says Pengers. Look, I respect Carrick Inners. I ask for the same respect for those of us that don't want to give Carrick the job, because I respect Carrick. It's just about what I think is best for Manchester United. And when we beat Fulham and when we beat Everton, I still said the same as when we drew to Sunderland and when we lost to Newcastle. I think there's a recurring thing here. I definitely don't want people to think we lose to, you know, we beat West Ham, we beat Everton, we beat Fulham, Carrick at the wheel, we lose to Newcastle and we draw to Sunderland, Carrick's load of shit. That's not, I don't want to do that. There's, you know, there's plenty of content and creators you can go and find who do that. I want to be like that. Your opinions can be there, but I want my opinion to be consistent so that when you're watching the content, you can disagree or agree, or you can agree with some bits and disagree with others. That's the way it should be. I've been very, very consistent that with Carrick and Holland and Woodgate and this United side, it's very Bruno-centric, it's very Casemiro-centric, it's very Maguire-centric to a certain sense. There's no style of play. There's no fluidity. We're quite boring to watch, and results are masking bad performance and bad vision. And I've said that when we've been winning, so I'm not going to stop saying it when we're drawing. I don't think yesterday was very good, but I don't think it was any... You know, some people are saying yesterday was the worst performance of the season. I don't think it was much better. I don't think Chelsea was much better. We just won. I think Chelsea was a very similar performance to Sunderland, but we won. And people are saying Sunderland's the worst performance of the season. I think Chelsea was just as bad. Just as bad. You go back to that Chelsea game. Who was man of the match? I think the keeper got a good game. I think Mazraoui and Heaven were centre-backs. They had a good game. So I think we've been having these results for a long time. VX says, morning, Mark and co. A bit ago, you said you'd take Mourinho over Carrick. Is that just experience and toughness, or is there another angle? I'd take Mourinho over Carrick. I mean, Carrick's football is basically Mourinho anyway. And Mourinho's better at it. So, of course, I'd take Mourinho over Carrick. Carrick's big problem is his style of play. It's not his inexperience. That is a concern. I don't really mention his inexperience that much. I say he's an inexperienced coach. That's not my problem with Carrick. It's his style of play. His style of play is abysmal. It's not the inexperience, I agree, but it's not the big thing. It's the style of play. Is it the players or the manager's fault yesterday, says Cameron? Well, look, players always take responsibility. You know, as somebody who's done some coaching myself, you can coach a win and your players can play out a loss. But we didn't coach a win because it was the same old stuff. So both take responsibility. Have you realised, too, that every time the camera cuts to Carrick, he's just standing there giving instructions or being any bit animated, says Rod. Carrick is the embodiment of the United for the past 13 years. Short-term success, if you could even call that over long-term success. Look, if Michael Carrick's going to get the job, Ahmad, and I think he will, our only hope is a sensational summer transfer window. I thought about this the other day. To end on a positive, right? If United give the job to Carrick, but you sign Tchouameni, I'd be excited. I'd go, ooh, that's a top-class signing. If they give the job to Carrick and they sign Belaiba, I'll go, fuck. And what Carrick desperately needs is fans to be excited about next season. So we've got to buy. If you're going to give it to Carrick, you better sign world-class players. You've got to. Otherwise, I think the mood. And the mood dictates everything. You know, if you're a player and, you know, you feed off the crowd. If the crowd's excited and believes, you believe. If the crowd's like, oh, here we go again, they'll pick up on it. So it's all about what they do. Ultimately, whoever the manager is, the board is inept, says Music for Everyone. Exactly. Would you take Hackney from Middlesbrough? It's a big step up, Highline. I'd rather him get promoted and see what he does in the Premier League first. MUF says, I want Xabi. Had financial issues at Barca and still won with loan players like Adama, plus a man like Xabi who dares questions his instructions. Joshua says, Carrick doesn't adapt in game. We need one who does. Thank you very much. Okay, look, 8 o'clock show is going to be very interesting. Don't forget to ask me about the Rodgers stuff, but I've got a good debate show going on tonight and some really good comments here tonight as well. What do you think about Edison, though? Let me know what you think about Edison. I think there's a chance, but I would probably say it's low. It feels like it's being driven by the agent. And when you look at the parameters of United, he's 26 in the summer. He's not a Brazilian international. He's got no Premier League experience. He's going to cost about 40 million. For 40 million pounds or 50 million pounds, you can get younger, more experienced in the league players who are under 26. And I don't think we'll go for him. I don't mind him. I don't think we'll go for him. I think someone like Fernandes at West Ham, if they get relegated, is a better call. So I think if Edison signs for United, it'll be because we've missed out on other players, is what I'm saying. Fantastic show this morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please do subscribe, bottom right-hand corner, if you haven't already, because we're in for a very busy summer one way or another. And I will see you on the 8 o'clock show. I'm also on That's Football for West Ham against Arsenal. Big game at 4:30, I'm told, today. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.